on that record.
Are we on?
Yeah.
Okay, so once again, this is Marysville Board of Education meeting of May 24th. All members are present. And just so all of you know, you're now part of public record. So if you say anything, it'll be locked in for life. All right, the agenda. We have an addenda to the agenda tonight.
There's some personnel items that came in late Friday and one this morning. So we've added those in there.
12 is an addition. There's additions to 12 and then 20, 21? Yes. Oh, additions to all three of those.
20, yes.
Oh, okay,
exactly.
I see.
There's additions to all.
Okay.
And we need to remove number 11 on 18.
11 on 18.
Which
goes with
20, right.
Okay, number 11 on 18. Sometimes it's 18, so.
The first 11.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Chastity.
Mm-hmm. Can we, when we get to that, can we actually have a discussion on that before we move rack on that?
Yep.
Please.
Okay, I'll make a note. Any other comments, additions, deletions to the agenda? If not, I need a motion to accept that, please. With the motion to accept the agenda with the addenda and the change.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Ms. Brady.
Yes.
Mr. Freudberg.
Yes.
Mr. Freudberg.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. April and May Employee of the Month.
Our April Employee of the Month is here, Becky. Becky DeShong works in our food service accounting. Up here, we are embarrassed. And does a great job. She's even doing better right at the moment because her numbers are black instead of red, which is wonderful. And in a food service operation in this day and age. But she does all of our accounting and ordering and making sure that all of our forms and our federal expenditures and all of our ordering that goes along with that federal food program are in place. So she does a magnificent job for us, and she has for years. And so we say congratulations, because you've been nominated by your peers, and there's not a better compliment than that. And Lori Hobbs is not able to be here tonight. She works at Edgewood as our social worker guidance counselor. Her training is as a social worker, but she does basically the same job as a guidance counselor would for us at that level. And Lori just does a magnificent job at Edgewood, and I just want that to be so noted.
All right, so I move that we accept Becky Bouchon as the April 2010 Employee of the Month and Lori Hobbs as the May 2010 Employee of the Month.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Meade.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Frager.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Northwood is here to present tonight.
Northwood is here to present tonight.
Good evening. I'd like to introduce to you Ree Shortell and Avola Rutledge. They are my Reading Recovery Title I teachers. And this year, thanks to Carla, we've gone to a program in all the elementaries. It's LLI, which is a Leveled Literacy Intervention Program. And we just want to show you what the difference it's made and the gains our students have made, and kind of share with you what goes on in the other buildings and some of our examples. And Carla, did you want to explain, or did you want them to see the tape?
Just so you'll know that LLI, as Ms. Hackett mentioned, it stands for Leveled Literacy Intervention. It's a scientifically based intervention program, small group instruction for those children who are not receiving support, such as reading recovery or special ed services. Usually there's one teacher, 3 to 4 children. This is the first year we've used it. It meshes beautifully with not only our classroom instruction model, but also with our benchmark assessment. Our reading recovery teachers are trained, as well as a couple other reading specialists. We are in the process of training some other people to be able to facilitate this. And right now, it's for kindergarten through fourth grade, because if we have a below-level reader in third and fourth grade, they're usually, we see at the second grade to early third grade level. The LLI that will come out, it's called LLI Plus for grades 3 through 8. The components come out for it in 2011, but we were fortunate enough that I was able to go and train with the developers of this program, so I can now train people in the district in that, and we can get it started now at the higher grade levels. We're going to do a writing team this summer to write the lessons for it. But we're seeing this, we're seeing good results in all of our buildings. We're just at the point where we're collecting our data as we do our final year assessments. And these two gals are exemplars of why this program is working so well. So we're pleased that Northwood gets to show the good stuff that's going on, but that's a little history of what it's all about.
But we just have a 5-minute video we put together just showing some parts of the lesson, and the very first part is just going to show you an overall example of the two types of lessons.
LLI, Level Literacy Intervention, is a wonderful reading program that is set up with a great balance of fiction and nonfiction books. The children love the books. They have wonderful illustrations and text that's appropriate for the level of the students. The lessons are set up in odd and even lessons so that there's a balance of reading and writing. On the odd lessons, the children reread books. They have phonics word work. They have a brand new book they're introduced to, such as this. They do comprehension practice. And also, more letter work. The following day, the students will reread books, and one student is assessed. There's more letter, more work. And the students have an opportunity to practice writing about their reading. And so it's a wonderful balance of reading and writing on all grades.
Every day we start with a familiar read, and this is an example of that.
We might add, too, that these books were written specifically for this program by authors across the United States, so these kids will never see these books elsewhere. So that's what makes it so powerful for intervention.
And this is an even day, so this is the assessment portion.
There's a lot more comprehension questions to the assessment besides just the running record that the teacher does.
And that now we bumped over to the comprehension part. Conversational type of assessment rather than tell me this, tell me that.
We've been talking about glints that come at the very beginning of the words. We've been talking about that for quite a while. And we had our big chart up here. should be thinking of one of the blends that you are thinking
of. It wasn't me. It's our first using this new flip camera we got.
I'm going to need an answer.
I won't tell you who was taking
it. Had to be a kindergarten.
We do have our children off with that.
Sorry about the sound, is kind of choppy here.
They drink water. What do you guys think? If this pig was adopted full of sweat, was that here? And they are also a race. The page. All right. Sled dogs are very strong. Let's think about that word strong. How would that word start?
And with three students, you noticed that she was taking notes. She's able to get notes about the positives and negatives of different students as they're reading.
What we're going to show you next is some of the data, the amount of gains each student, and what we divided the students into were
LLI level literacy interventions.
What we divide the students into were the ones that went to title teachers, and then the way we serviced other students was through our guaranteed sub, our guaranteed academic support, and our stimulus money. We had a person, and then Jody Springer, one of our kindergarten teachers, she used some of her planning time to learn LLI and to be able to do some more. This is the first year we've done kindergarten students. So
okay, we removed the names. So here we've got grade 2. And this is their entry level. This is their level at the end of the year.
What does that mean? That the letter they recognize, or
no, the book, the book time,
yeah,
book level.
The book levels, like at the beginning of second grade, they would be at a level
IJ,
and they would move up to level M by the end of second grade. So you can see they started at a G, which is a first grade level, mm-hmm. and if there's an asterisk, that means they met the benchmark level. That's where they should have been by the end of second grade this year. So
on average, this group of second graders moved 5 levels.
That's phenomenal.
So you can see the numbers are the levels.
And these are kids that were struggling, that we are not looking at for special education now. And five of the students met benchmark, so they are caught up. That means they've made a year's worth of gain just in this one group of second graders. So these are students that we did not, that right now are making the gains that we will not look at for special education services.
It's important to note, too, that we look at the levels because the levels get us into the ballpark where the children are. But within each level are characteristics and behaviors and strategies that kids need to have in order to comprehend and be able to move toward an independent reading process. Mm-hmm. So as you see them go up grade level, the levels get smaller. You'll think, oh, they only move from like M to P, you know. But keep in mind, there are a lot of behaviors and characteristics, especially in the area of comprehension.
And I want to piggyback on that. What we did with this group of students, we gave them the reading diagnostic, which is kind of a practice prep for what the third grade reading achievement will be in the fall. And all these students were just as consistent in their scores. So they did not go backwards. They maintained, and they were showing the skills that they've learned. Their comprehension and writing both were very strong in the practice assessment. So it was good to see that it was translating. Matter of fact, the students that were in the LLI group, their writing and strategy skills were stronger than their peer group that had, that hadn't had it, that were already reading on grade level. So it's a really great, for our first year of using this program, we've seen so many gains. And the comprehension, like Carl was talking about, The students, because of the conversation that Mrs. Rutledge was saying, because it's more conversational and it's a smaller group, they're able to engage a lot more with the teacher and get to deeper level questioning. And that's where we think that we've seen why we've seen such a leap in the scores, too.
Even at kindergarten.
Now, these typically students that would take all year to go through this. I mean, they're not kids that are going to roll in and out throughout the year.
If we hadn't had, as you can see, the next group, and Mrs. Are those your scores? The next group, that's second grade, or Mrs. Rutledge?
Mrs. Rutledge.
As you can see, she averaged, her average was 6, well, a little over 6, almost 7. Her average was about 6.5, and all those students...
6.5 levels.
6.5 levels. And all those top 12, had we not have had the academic support person, those students would not have gotten support this year.
Yeah.
So overall, we service between kindergarten and third grade 79 students that would not have gotten service over and beyond our Title I teachers. And what were your numbers of service students?
I have another slide coming up. These actually were all mine right here. I worked with just first grade this year, but you know what Ms. Hackett was saying is that the kids up here would have gotten no service this year. Probably would have moved a little bit, but when you're in, all you get is the whole classroom instruction and you don't get that specialized one teacher with three students, it really makes a huge difference, and it's going to affect them for the rest of their time in education if they get a good reading base.
Right, I mean, if they don't need help after this year, or if they did,
okay.
They would need help, you know. I mean, they would be in that lower group the rest of their
career. And that's
their
a great
career.
Question. It's not about fixing kids.
Right.
It's not about... that there's something broken with them. It's that these children learn in different ways, and we need to figure out what path they're on and provide them with a toolkit of strategies that they can use to be problem solvers, critical thinkers, writers, and readers. So it takes teachers like this with specialized training that are able to really understand the reading process and get in there and find out what the intentional teaching needs to be. Now, this doesn't disclude the regular classroom teacher. Mm-hmm. These kids go back into their classroom, and they still receive instruction from their guided reading groups. And sometimes they'll go to two groups. We are really, you know, hitting these kids who are struggling.
And the way, what happens is, just so you know how they get assessed for reading recovery, for Title I, all the children are assessed, and then we pick the lowest students. And that's how Avola and Ruth both have their groups. And then what happens is the teachers nominated kids that were in that next tier, that were still, you know, in the classroom, they're still showing signs of struggling or needing extra support. And that's how we came up with those next students that got served.
And this is the first year that we've ever had support for kindergarten students. Mm-hmm. If you look at this last group here,
this is amazing.
Debbie Ehlers actually worked with 31 students, and all of those children, that's going to make a big difference. If they got to these levels by the end of kindergarten, I mean, some of them are actually...
Benchmark for kindergarten is a D.
Actually, I'm off. Okay. Here it is right here.
A benchmark for kindergarten is a D, and these students were all students. Also, they were coming in as 0, and most of these students still did not know all their letters and sounds. So we also did a little program before we started the LLI. Carla and our reading recovery teachers helped our support teachers, you know, kind of narrow what focus those students needed based on the data we had from running records and from hearing words and sounds and the crawl assessment. And as you can see, almost all those students, they made amazing gains. And it was, you know, some of the students, two of the students in there that only got up to a level A, two of those children are students that did not even know what their name looked like or what letters were. So it's this program, our kindergarten program, stopped in April. And we were able to get with our stimulus money, we had Debbie for December, January, February, April, March, April, maybe at 5 months. And so this is where they're at. And then I wish the kindergarten teachers are in the process of finishing, but all these students, from what I'm hearing right now, have already moved past some of those. And So it looks like we're going to have that group, pretty much everyone up at a level D, a C and a D. So we're really excited about that. And the one little one, she got up to a level G, and she came in, she didn't even know what her name looked like, and didn't even know what, she read books upside down. She would just turn them and keep turning and spin during reading time. And she's quite amazing because now she just goes and grabs books, and she just has made the whole connection. And her writing is phenomenal. So,
and I assume some of that just because some of those kids just haven't had the exposure to that. I mean, it's not the child.
Lots
they
of
have,
different reasons.
I mean, kindergarten, I imagine, is probably the where your level of expertise in the student is varied as any.
They come
grade.
In from reading. We have, you know, we have a. Kindergartners this year that were going to the first and second grade rooms for reading, and we had kindergartners that had never seen a book. So, you know, in kindergarten you get the gamut. We had 144 kindergartners this year.
And we know that if children exit second grade really below expectation levels, it will take double and triple intervention that is very explicit, very intentional, to even begin to start to catch them up. And this is not, please know that you can tell this was a lot of collaboration, partnership between reading specialist classroom teachers, LLI providers, principals were very involved in data collection. We met about children all the time in each of the buildings. So this really was a collaboration. And in the classroom, they're receiving excellent instruction as well. It's just these kids needed an extra boost, and we were able to pull them out. We know that the best intervention happens one-to-one, but at least no more than one-to-three, one-to-four. You often will hear reading recovery teachers only service like 8 children a year, not in our district. As you can see, these reading recovery teachers touched a lot of children, and they also are helping to move the understanding of the literacy processes for classroom teachers. So I'm very, very blessed to be a part of these groups in each of the buildings because they're doing.
And these results were, as we've talked among principals, these results were across our buildings. This just didn't happen in my building. I know Carol Lentz comes over and coaches with my staff, and they were sharing some of their results. So we've just seen. But we've had that extra help, and that's where, you know, when you catch them when they're little, you can really, that's where you have to get that catch, because then you're not playing catch up all along. You give them a strong base, and Carla said the tools and the strategies. I know that these ladies especially spend a lot of time making sure they have the right foundation, because then you can keep feeding them and keep them moving, but if they don't get that, if you get them into second and third grade and they don't have that, they're still missing. They may not hear their sounds properly, or there's just a lot of things that hurt them from being able to read the text. And if they, in third grade especially, when they take that practice, that first OAA test, if those kids don't have strong foundations, we see it in their scores, and that's where we get those limited, those 350s, 360s, because they just haven't had that base to get them started. And there's some data that's missing from here. Karen Hansen was also part of our team. And Karen serviced 38 children, but what she did was she had a core group of 24, but she also took math kids. Fourth grade, what we decided with our data was fourth grade needed more math support, and so Karen Hansen came in 2 days a week, and she worked with math students. And as Carla said, the LLI program for fourth grade wasn't developed, and for at least what we needed. So what Karen did was she worked with another group of teachers from Mill Valley and from Navin, and our fourth grade teachers, and they developed their own little intervention program. And so there was a lot of success with that too, because Karen gave a lot of time until her grandbaby was born, and then she was on her way to Texas. So her date is different, so we didn't want to put this in here.
And we've all talked about this, about numbers and from the number standpoint, but think about that kindergartner who now has confidence that they know what to do going into first grade. Think what a boost that's going to be for them.
And they love books. We see children who walk in because they haven't felt successful. and they'll walk into the classroom and they grab their favorite books, you know, and they want to read and write, and that is three-fourths of the battle. So.
One last thing we want to show you, and Vola and Ruth, you can kind of talk about this. These are the books, and she's going to explain what came in the kit as part of our purchase.
These are just some examples of, we have some really nice nonfiction books, and then there's fiction books. And it's set up so we have a black and white copy that's less expensive to send home with the students, and that way we don't worry about losing the good colored books. You can see the quality of the books is excellent, and the kids are so excited about reading the books because they're very well written and really give them a nice opportunity to read fiction and nonfiction both.
And then our, to go with that, we wanted you to see the writing because that's something that's a very strong component from the beginning of the year to now. Do you have, what grade level did you bring?
First graders? These are first grade, and Mrs. Rutledge has second
look
grade.
Look at the very first page, and then where she's put her finger in it. Yeah. You go back.
And here's
to the
beginning. We do word work over here. We can practice words, and then this is where we write the sentence. But like at the beginning,
you're starting to see story. You're starting to see quotations.
Here we're
actually back.
Sentences with periods, capitals.
You know, just the difference in the
we're looking at chunks
and
words and making those connections. Mm-hmm.
We usually do some of this at the board, and then they have a chance to put it in their journals.
So this all comes with the program, the writing books do.
Through the writing, I think it's a very strong component. When you have three kids in front of you, you can make sure that they're all doing exactly the right thing. You know, you can get around to all of them and help them with corrections.
Any questions you'd like to ask the ladies? Because they do this every day, and they've also been instrumental in helping and working as a team, because if we didn't all do it as a team, we wouldn't have been able to take the two ladies that we used as our academic support people. Debbie Ehlers was a teacher for me at East, and then she's been a stay-at-home mommy for the last 5 years because she had twins, surprise twins on top of her first child. And then Kathy Dias is a retired teacher, and she's worked with us for 3 years in the capacity of subbing, and she loves reading, and so she really wanted to get into this. So those are the support teachers that helped us.
And now, ongoing professional development will be a part of this. We'll also want to take a look at the exiting scores and see if these kids are close in their beginning of the year benchmark assessment. At the start of the school year to make sure we have good program.
That's okay. The program that Mrs. Jenkins was talking about,
I'm going to bring that up.
Is that kind of going to coincide with us to keep these kids reading through the summer?
What Tracy's talking about, we have a group of teachers on the reading committee, and Mrs. Jenkins, our librarian, she is getting together a summer reading program. We've opened up a blog account. The children are going to be able to interact with the teachers over the summer as they read books. And all the students that read so many books in August will have an ice cream party. And we've made it a big deal about getting them on the blog so they can respond back and forth with all their teachers this summer to encourage the reading, since you know, we don't have a reading program for the summer. But the kids are really excited about it, so we're really hoping we get a great turnout. And the kids have already, a couple parents have already been, can we blog now? No, we need to wait till we do this first blog. This is for books, to talk about books. So we're hoping to encourage reading with our primary and students especially, but definitely K through 4.
Fantastic. Anybody have any other questions? You guys do a great job, really. And I mean, the impact you have on those kids is tremendous. You can tell already. So thank you for all that you folks did.
Thank you for having us.
Next up, did you have a report from the folks at High Point, sir?
Yeah, I figured I'd talk a little bit about, we had a working session last week going over kind of the five-year forecast, so we have a board meeting this week, and it was just kind of interesting. It was to go through that process because it was just primarily board members there. It was open to the public, and they took a lot of time, the whole meeting, just talking through the five-year forecast. And, you know, they're dealing with some of the same issues we are from a revenue point of view, you know, watching things go down, revenue from because of TPP, state funding, lower returns on their investments, and the delinquent taxes and stuff like that.
Those all sound very familiar.
Yeah. What they did there, though, is they baselined their five-year forecast. It pretty much took out anything that would require a board decision. So, like salary increases, stuff like that, took it completely out to kind of baseline the five-year forecast. Built in a 25% reduction for state funding, because that seems to be the word on the street, somewhere between 20 and 30%.
Okay.
And it created some pretty significant deficits, revenue deficits, in like 2012 through 14. So, but that's that gave us a good context for discussion, which I thought was pretty good. So, and then the other thing I wanted to talk about is I don't know if you guys caught wind of the competitions they do over there at High Point. And, they actually had 247 students advance the state in those competitions.
Wow.
And these competitions, I guess, are things that focus on leadership skills, public speaking, management skills, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And 14 of them advanced to nationals. And I kind of picked off the ones that I recognize as Marysville students, like Cody Smith. He's in the diesel technology up there. He won a gold medal.
Wow.
At the state level, and he's going off to nationals. Connor Gifford, he's a senior, actually at our satellite here, and he is going off to, I believe, nationals in Orlando in June for research persuasive speech. Sounds like a college thing. And then Zachary Nichols, he's also at our satellite, and he's in pharmacology knowledge test. And he's going off to nationals in Orlando as well. So, but that was kind of cool.
Oh, that is cool. Good for them.
So, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. You know, I like the idea of having a work session for our forecast. Obviously, we can't do it now.
Right.
We're due, but there's no reason why we couldn't. I mean, why we don't have to be up against a deadline to do it. Is that?
Yeah,
is that right?
It has to be submitted by Thursday.
No, that's all. We don't have to be up against the deadline to have a work session.
Oh,
right.
No. We can have it at any time.
It's kind of a relax, because that's the only things on the agenda was that, and then Kim squeezed in some strategic planning updates, but that was the only thing on the agenda, so it's kind of nice.
I think I'd like to do everybody up for doing something like that sometime over the summer, possibly.
Yeah.
Sure.
Put it on a regular meeting, you mean?
No, just have a special meeting. It's just a work session. We just come in and talk about the forecast at some point. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get that, just kind of fill that out there a little bit. Mm-hmm. See what works out.
Sure.
All right, next up, public participation. Is there anybody here that would like to address the board?
I will.
All right.
Juliet Witzel, speaking for MEA. I was just thinking on the way here that this is probably a good time to talk about the good relationship that we have with the board, all the teachers, and so it's another good year under our belts, and just want to acknowledge that working relationship, and it's another good year, so thank you.
Outstanding. Well, thank you, and
thank you
for all that you and the membership do as well. Is there anybody else? All right. And we will move on to minutes. I know all of you read the minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Lori's.
Oh, okay.
Or forget.
Read the minutes from our last two meetings.
Yep.
Are there any additions, deletions, comments, whatever? Now would be the time to.
I do have a comment, but
so,
I don't think it's worth.
Well, you already started down the road. So.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think it's worth changing them. It just, and maybe with the audio, it'll, like that last special meeting we had, there was really nothing about the context of our discussion that was in those minutes. And, you know, like, given some of the articles that were in the newspaper out in the Journal Tribune, it was just not representative of what was discussed in that meeting. And so I think that, you know, if we stick with the audio, I think that might suffice. But I think if we don't have audio, I'd like to see a little bit more of a highlight of what was discussed during the meeting. Like, for instance, you know, there was nothing in there talking about the reasons why. I mean, we talked about why certain people voted. We had two motions, both of them were voted down, so we had no votes. But there was nothing telling the public why there was people voted no. And I know it was discussed. We spent most of the time just talking about why.
Well, we did.
Yeah, so I just, you know, in general, I think that's the point.
I think the audio ought to take care of it.
Yes, I think so,
I would think so. And so and instead of putting that burden on someone to have to take
right,
notes,
I agree.
The yeah. audio. Anybody else have any comments, at least additions, deletions to the minutes?
I only have one comment, and that with regard to the executive session, during our seminar, our board member,
yes.
They talked about only putting the reason in there that you specifically went in for, not the laundry list mm-hmm. of all the possible reasons you could go into executive session, but the one reason or two reasons that you did. Whether it
I agree.
Was personnel
I agree.
Or
no, I was just I'm trying to think back to that executive session, to be honest with you, but I don't have the minutes in front of me.
Isn't that what we do?
Yeah, so we do, but I'm not. I don't have minutes in front of me. I don't know what it said. Yeah.
Well, it had several different items, and I believe we only met for one particular reason.
Yeah, I think that's what was listed in the agenda.
I thought that's what was on the agenda, but to be honest with you, that was two meetings ago, so I don't.
I think it was what was on the agenda, because I remember thinking that when I saw it on the agenda, that was a pretty long list.
That is. That's how you have to list that. It says for the appointment that was for the personnel. That is how you put it in for personnel.
I did not recall talking about personnel. That was my only question. But it was a while ago.
All right. Well, then I guess
I know that
we typically.
Again,
I think it was supposed to have been, and we probably, I don't think we ever got to that personnel.
I don't think
it
was, yeah, again, I don't remember.
I think that's what.
Typically, we put down there the one or two
yeah.
reasons in there.
Yeah, because that's that personnel.
And then if there's, let's say that there's two, and we talk about one, the other one doesn't, it was not an issue at that point. I mean, you have to put it on the agenda.
Right, it should just drop off the minutes. It
should drop
yeah.
off the minutes.
And that's fine.
So that, I think I get that. I understand that.
Yeah. I just don't remember.
I don't either.
I didn't either.
I know the item we talked about, but
that.
I didn't.
Yeah, I know the one issue we talked about, but yes. I don't think we talked about it. Okay.
That's
well,
easy enough, John.
Yeah. Noted. If there's nothing else, I need
that
a motion to accept those, please.
So moved.
Second. All right, moved in second. I'll vote, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Levy.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. All right, Treasurer. It's time for the Treasurer's report.
Questions before I start talking about the five-year forecast? About anything that was sent to you?
Yeah, item A and B.
Item A and B.
I did have one question, and it's not something that you sent, but you mentioned the information that Senator Gilmore sent you.
Did you hear about it here in just a second? There's extra ones of those, I know, that two reporters need them.
Thank you.
stuff, and I don't know if it's the, I think it's the FinSum report, or maybe it's not. I don't know. I just saw one that had a check register. I think that's what it was.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know at what level of detail we should go through this stuff. I just kind of went through and picked up a few things and figured I'd ask what they were. Like Rose Products and Services for like $14,000.
That's our custodial supplies.
Custodial. Oh, okay. When you say Rose, I'm thinking, well,
someone buy a flower.
Somebody had a good Mother's Day.
That would be custodial
okay.
supplies.
And then performance site management. There were like a bunch of line items for that. So.
Performance site management is
environmental.
They did Bunzel, all the grading and
okay.
the site development.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think we just. Yeah.
Grass seed.
Mm-hmm.
So they did the widening of the road, parts of the ditches
mm-hmm.
and things.
Protected the street.
We just final
yeah,
it
final,
out. Because we were waiting for them to do it right.
Got it. Okay.
So they were the company that didn't do it correctly
well,
in the first place, or they were fixing what wasn't?
Yeah, they were right. fixing what they didn't do correctly in the first place. And we held their money until they got it right.
But all at once.
Well, several pots. There were several parts of it. You know, if it had to do with the widening of the road, that was one project.
Sure.
It had to do with the other part of the site. There were just various portions of which they got paid. Various portions of it.
Yeah, I was just curious as to what it was.
I think they're out of business now. Yeah. I don't think we ran them out of business.
We ran themselves out of business. Okay. I'm going to see if this works. I don't know if this will work or not.
Probably turn the recorder on and off if you hit it too many times. Anybody else have any other questions on that before we get to the forecast? So we don't
not
miss
good.
Those. Anybody else okay? All right.
Smither won't get heard that.
Okay.
Give him the high sign. I just say click.
I'm just going to go through some of the basics on this, and then if we want to talk a little bit more about it, we can. But this five-year forecast right now is the end of this year. Basically, what it does is add in this year, start working on next year and the years after. So I have went through and looked at where we're at as of this moment, as of where we might be at the beginning of next year. The notes that I sent you all have that information in them, specifically what changes we've done. And there's quite a few. The areas that we have no control, even at this point in the year, are revenues, basically. Unfortunately, property taxes, had they come in? Did they come in low, high? Are there more delinquencies? You know, some of those things I said, we've got delinquencies, we've got a lot of new construction. It's all there. Enrollment. We still don't have good numbers on enrollment this year. Not our control. None of it's in our control. It's because state wanted to go through this new EMIS-R rewrite of their state software. And it's still not there, so they went back to the old way. At the end of April, we got some numbers, but they didn't have the aggregation in from the open enrollments coming in from wherever anybody else, where our kids going out, kids on tuition, all that kind of stuff.
And that's from the October numbers.
From October numbers. October, think about it, October till now. It used to be better with paper and pencil when we filled out the little bubble forms. Some of the teachers, you know, that they remember the bubble forms. It used to be better then. And so that's what the state funding formula changed, again, federal funding. So those are the things that are changes that we have no control about. The other part of state funding, Governor Strickland said he doesn't want to touch schools, but they touched the cost of schools in that they cut the funds for our A sites, for our IT sites. They cut the cost for EMIS funding, so we have to come up with more funding there. So it's, you know, little things like that, they cut the cost. Taxes.
the forecast that I've put out has no new levy in it. I know it used, it was there. I thought if we're going to be working with the finance committee, we need to take that out. Take it out and see what happens. Real estate taxes. What I did here was look at our total taxes. We look at fiscal year 07. We were at $28 million in taxes. And from 7 to 13, we're only up by $2 million. And that was with a new levy in there. Now, it drops back down in 14 because we have a levy coming off that has to be renewed that year. So you have to take it out of your taxes. And it's down below on the forecast lines. But you have to show it that it's coming out of your taxes. So that's why your tax line drops. Here gives you a little idea. Let's look at the blue bar. Tangible property tax. I just did a real quick this morning. Calendar year 2005, our valuation for TPP, the tangible personal property, was $209,045,632. In 2004, which is the year that the state is using as our hold harmless era, was it was up by $1,999,396. So the number, that $209 million, was less bought in 2004. So we did not get the growth from 4 to 5 when they start calculating our hold harmless. That's an important thing to think about. So in 5, 6, 7, when that starts going down, they took it down by a quarter each year. So this calendar year, in 9, all of our tangible personal property is gone. The only thing that's showing there now in fiscal year 10 is for utilities. That's the only tangible personal property we get. That's it. So it went from having $299 million in valuation to nothing there now. Question, Tracy? Looks like you have that. Okay. He just had that look like. So that's part of the tax problem. There's our hold harmless area. Next slide is on our delinquent taxes, new construction. Delinquent taxes is this I just got from Andrea last week. It is up by a lot from June to December. 62% of the taxing districts, 62% of the delinquencies are in one taxing district, number 29, which is the Mill Valley area. It's where most of the delinquencies are at. But new construction, also most of the new construction is in the Mill Valley area. So new construction, this whole thing. You see class 1 is our residential ag, class 2 is commercial industrial. So you got a little bit of commercial industrial and some of the new construction on the residential and agricultural area. So, and our construction ratio of new construction to total value is 8.37. So that makes a big difference because new construction, the year that it goes in, is taxed at full value. So if we've got an 8% in for new construction, that's at our total taxable value, not at our effective taxable values, or the rates. Okay.
Larry, I guess this is for Larry. I know he's not doing the part. No, that 62% and coming from the Mill Valley area, that didn't they kind of defer tax certain amount of taxes for so long for the residents that they bought or built a home there?
I don't know.
And I think it's all TIF area, isn't it?
The original Mill Valley?
No.
Yeah.
The original
portions? Because I was just wondering if that, once those kicked in and people realized they had to pay more money out in their payments, because like, I don't think their mortgage payments, I don't think their taxes were.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, part, part of the issue and part of the way people bought homes is no longer allowed.
Yeah, but
you know,
yeah.
And that's, I think, what you're talking about. Because a lot of the mortgage rates for the first 2 to 3
mm-hmm.
years were at a reduced rate, and then
balloon payments.
Got into a balloon or some kind of whatever you call it payment.
A 2-1 buy down or anything.
Fourth, fifth year, depending on where you put it out there.
Yeah.
And the value of that home was set by somebody, too, that was fairly favorable towards getting you
to
whatever
build,
loan you
need. Right.
A lot of those practices are no longer allowed,
right.
just because of the whole banking industry and the collapse of all that on the mortgage. So
mm-hmm.
That may be what you're referring to. But
I don't know if that's why that.
It has an awful lot. We think it has an awful lot to do with the delinquencies there, just because of the types of loans that were originally
mm-hmm. right.
sold.
But as far as on the TIF, they still have to pay the same amount. It
yeah.
just doesn't go to us. It goes to,
it goes
the, city,
to the city.
And
right.
then they
and the city reimburses
us.
But so I lived there for 15 years. I never got a tax break.
When you
no, yeah,
you,
people
you,
are still paying the same amount. It's just
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Going.
I know. I'm just kidding. I was like, man, if I was supposed to get a tax break, and I did.
No, you weren't getting a tax break. You just got a an incentive to buy or build there for the first couple of years. I thought somehow they
not a tax incentive.
Well, some
they,
kind of
they
an incentive.
Builder
to,
incentive.
Yes,
but your taxes don't sometimes kick in right away. Like you're paying taxes on the land a lot during the first couple of years while
correct.
You own the house, and then
yeah.
it kicks in. And it's,
yeah. I might, yeah.
yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, your taxes don't kick in until it's completed.
Yeah. Well, sometimes
well,
after.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
after
yeah.
that was.
Yeah,
yeah
exactly.
It's,
yeah,
exactly. It's a little.
Yeah.
Depends on when your house finishes.
Yeah, when
you're,
right.
yeah. when you're, it depends on when your house is finished and all that,
mm-hmm.
not until it's actually completed.
And then it's, I think on the TIF areas, I think like the reference there might be that in the areas that are in the TIF, those taxes do get paid into the TIF, and then it does come back to us, but we, I think, those TIFs actually are used for buying down our bond debt or something because they go. Yeah, okay.
Correct. Not for operating.
Yeah,
right.
And it doesn't. But it doesn't show as part
as
of that
value.
Right.
As value, and it doesn't show in our values
right.
either
and
one.
And
those are those delinquencies aren't those TIF areas. Those
no.
are the newer.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Older.
It could be.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Okay.
Yep.
On to enrollment.
You have
here.
Some at yeah. If you talk.
I just had a thought on that. Possibly the reason for the large percentage of delinquency could be that that's coming through the mortgage holder based on how far behind a homeowner would be on payments.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the first thing they're trying to do is bank what they're trying to acquire here in interest rather than forward anything on
it could be.
Account.
And,
yeah.
and we have no control over that. And how it's done or anything like
I
that.
Just
so that's just one of those things that's
right.
where it is.
I would just suggest to the extent that you know, the delinquency is still a hot topic,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Generally, the delinquencies
yeah.
will catch up with themselves, though.
That's
yeah,
what
and they
ask.
Will.
Yeah.
And they will, eventually.
Yeah.
And
unless there's just a bankruptcy of some type or whatever, but generally taxes are paid out of that bankruptcy at full amount.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
it may take a while.
Right.
Delinquencies typically catch up.
Yeah. It's just, it could have been that it just hit.
It's hard to predict.
It's
yeah.
hard to predict. It's. It could have been that it just went boom right there at that point. And then next year, if we look at the same thing, it may be in a whole different area. Or a whole, or it even might be a smaller percentage, too.
How'd you account for that in the future years in the forecast? Did you assume delinquencies, or did you just kind of go with?
I went with what was basically throughout, because that's about what it is.
Sure.
It's still about the same amount. It just goes up and down. It spikes a little bit. So what I did with the forecast this year, I put in our total that we have received this year, and so because of that, that
mm-hmm.
flows into the
right.
next year. So that's
okay.
that percentage. And remember that this year is our triennial update, so next year the values, our values will change a little bit. So. Enrollment, as you can see that we've went up quite a few back in 99. I went all the way back on our SF3s to see where we were at. And we started with a 436 and on up and this year it's only 55. Two reasons. One, it's not everything in, but the second reason, Formula ADM has the number of students that we have, and then they take out half the kindergartners and JVS. 2 years, 3 years ago, it was 0.25 that we got for JVS. Now we only get 0.2 for JVS if they're a full-time student, or that percentage, whatever they're here. If you have students that are in like satellite programs here, then whatever percentage that they're here in the district, then we get 20% of that instead of that whole student. So if they're here 8 periods, that 1/9 period they're there, we get 20% of that 9th period, plus their regular students here. This year, they're also counting kindergartners as one instead of as a half. So that's why that goes down from 252 to 55. The other thing is that with the new state funding, enrollment, if there's a 2% increase of overall enrollment, then they will look at your October numbers. Otherwise, they will look at the previous year's numbers. So we didn't make 2%, so they're going to look at last year's numbers to fund us for this year, this year's numbers to fund us for next year, and then they'll look in August or October when we do those numbers again. They'll look and see, did you meet that 2%? They'll look at that, and if we did, went over that 2%, then yes, they'll give us some more money. But we're already getting a 2% decrease this year in state funding for next year. So will it really affect us? Here's a little comparison on the chart on where it falls and how the difference is. You can sort of see that it just goes right there together. They flow together, just the numbers you can see. And it's basically how they're calculating the kindergartners, plus you were getting more than 2% growth there for a while. So it makes a big difference. On the state funding, the amount of state funding, funded aid is what we actually get. Total SF3 or pass is what we should be getting. Those numbers are large. They went from $5,000,099. There's $800,000 difference, and that's because state funded aid is based on formula. The other is based on the total. If you look at this year, we're only getting $15 million, which is less than what we got last year. And we have more students by the 55 at least. If we look at our total pass, we should be getting $28 million. Will this ever happen? I doubt it. I doubt it with the state budget and everything, but that's the way it is. The picture really shows the difference on the next slide. How that goes up, and you can see that difference. If we had the difference between $15 million and $28 million, we wouldn't have to worry about asking it for a levy for a long time. And that's based on our number of students, on what they say that is needed, the number of teachers for course teachers, the number of teachers for specialists, the number.
So that's the EBM formula.
That is the EBM formula. If it was fully funded, that's what we would be getting. It'll never happen. I don't think. If it does, somebody got a lot of money someplace. So, what's this mean state funding-wise forecast? This is the way it is right now. It's giving us our total revenue. This is what's in the forecast. I just pulled the numbers off the sheet so it's there as a picture. Fiscal year 11, we're still in the positive cash balance. Fiscal year 12, we go negative. With what we've got in there as our projected revenue expenditures. We're still working on our numbers of staffing for next year. We are going to need more staff at the elementary level. We've got some intervention specialists that we're going to need, and all. So there's some things there that we're definitely going to need more of for next year. But this is where we're at right now. So we're still working on FY11. So that's not hard and set numbers.
And part of that negative number in fiscal year 12 is based on a loss of federal stimulus money for...
Based on a loss of federal stimulus money.
Some of it is.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Now, when we got that stimulus money, did we just move teachers from one area, from off out of the general fund and into that funding, or did we actually hire people with that stimulus money?
You weren't a lot...
We could not supplant.
We couldn't supplant, so we didn't. We moved some of the monies that we were spending anyway into the stimulus where it was allowed, because you were allowed a certain percentage to supplant. But the other, we avoided hiring additional people because of the stimulus money, because we did not want to hire people for 1 or 2 years.
Right.
Where we did use them, Missy described that earlier, we hired some tutors at the elementary level to assist three of our Title I buildings where it was allowed, where they qualified for the use of stimulus money for that.
Mm-hmm.
We hired, and we did some of that to give some kids some extra help. But that's the extent of it.
Yeah, and this stimulus money here is the foundation that... And you could use that for things that you were already using it for. So we pay most of our certified retirement out of a big chunk out of this stimulus money because it's part of the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
And we also paid some of our fees for the A sites out of it because you needed to get that money spent at that point. So those are the, when you're looking at the general fund portion of the stimulus money, that's where a lot of that went to. And not hiring staff.
Okay, I guess my question kind of goes to we spend additional stimulus funding dollars. Are those same costs folded back into the forecast for next year when that stimulus money isn't there?
Yeah.
No.
Well, some of it.
Yes, the retirement is, but some of this,
the temporary staffing is
not. Okay. Right.
Is the ARRA the stimulus?
Yes.
And then, because I do see a place where pops off in 10 and goes back in 12,
right?
Then that's like 200,000 or something like that. What's that? Is that what we're talking about here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it comes back in 12 if all goes as planned. I mean, they go back into the general fund.
Right. Right.
Well, I
thought you meant the stimulus money coming.
I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
That out
yeah.
on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what I gave you here is the information that we've talked, that I, in the notes that I sent you about, that we got it from Karen Gilmore. And she received this from Representative Gardner. But I thought it was important that you saw the whole information here. What he's saying is 22.7 to 30.1%, scenario one, scenario two. So if you go to the next slide, And in that packet of that information, I gave you a page that says scenario one, and then the page that shows that on the unrestricted grants, taking that out, and then scenario two. So if you look at scenario one, removing that, it goes from a 2.0 in fiscal year one, or in fiscal year 12, from 2.0, yeah, so you're going too far in your notes.
Yeah.
2.3 negative to 4.8 negative.
And that's a best case scenario on her numbers?
That's the best case scenario on her numbers. So scenario two, if you look at scenario two, it goes to 6.019 negative.
That's a 30% reduction.
And that's a 30%. Yeah, that's 30% reduction of state money. And that's just one change. So with that, we really need to sit down and start talking about what do we do, where we go, what needs to be done, how do we figure it out, And we've already started talking. Larry and I have talked already about it. We've talked with the administration saying it doesn't look good in a year from now. We're still trying to see where we can cut funds, what can be done. Only being here for 3 months, I've wrapped my fingers around it as much as I possibly can in that time period, trying to figure everything out. But there's a lot of numbers here. So,
the forecast you have right here is, you know, a $2.3 million deficit in 12.
Mm-hmm.
If we get a 30% cut from the state, it's $6 million, and that's almost $4 million additional dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of us understand the reduction of almost $3 million there, you know, last couple of years ago. This is pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we get a 30% reduction from the state, you really, what happens, and you don't hear this talked about very much, but if you get less money from the state, your community has to come up with more. Where basically is it, if you want to maintain. If you don't want to maintain, then you cut. It's pretty simple. Because the state is telling us that they don't have the dollars, therefore, communities, it's your problem.
Well, I understand that. One, certainly the community is one person at the table that can offer some solution, but so are the teachers' unions. I mean, it's an expense and a revenue problem. And when you see revenues flat or minus one, you can't just keep increasing expenses. And we all know where those expenses are being increased the most. So we can't just assume that the community is an ATM machine and you have to either cut services or give us more money. We can't take that. We can't take that attitude. I mean, there might be some reality to it, but they're not the only ones at the table with a solution.
Well, a cut is a cut, regardless of whether your teachers give up or
right.
whoever gives up salary,
right.
benefit, or you lose program, a cut is a cut. So that's what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's almost unrealistic to ask our community to fill a $6 million hole.
Right.
So I think whatever solutions we come up with are going to have to be a wide range.
Yeah, the tough part about our community, they've already gave up the personal tangible.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, if you put that back on the board, then that reduction is...
Yeah, it's not as much. And if you look at 14, the reason it goes down so much in 14 is that the hold harmless amount is less in 14 than what it is now.
Right, the extension runs out.
It's gone then, yeah. So you're losing half of what we've been getting as of fiscal year 14 from mm-hmm. the state. So we're not only losing their 30% or 22%, we're also losing the money that the district was paying. Our taxpayers were paying, but the state just said, oh, well, you don't need to pay it anymore. We'll take care of your school districts. They
right.
took it away, and we don't have it anymore.
Correct.
So the lobbyists that the district went in with the coalition of other schools
correct.
To try and change minds of some people down in Columbus. How is that working out? Are you getting any reports on whether they're receptive or not receptive?
I think there's some reception to it. I think there's a realization that, oops, you know, we've really impacted some communities greatly out there. I think there's a lot of posturing. There's a lot of finger pointing and blaming of party to party.
Is it going on in both the House and the Senate?
Pardon?
Is it going on in both the House and the Senate?
Both the House and the Senate. We had a meeting down there about 6 weeks ago. I met with some representatives and some senators. They had their arms around it, their head around it. They understand what happened.
Is it going to be a re-education process in November?
It could be a re-education process.
And that's some of the problem, I think, with that as well, is there's a lot of those folks, even now, that we're not working.
All the people that passed the legislation are no longer there, or they're in a different chamber. They were in the House, and now they're senators.
So they're still aware of it? You're just in a different place.
Sometimes you can be, you know.
Yeah.
What?
Some of it's probably
memory.
That.
Yeah.
That's interesting. The issue is really the state took dollars away from communities and reallocated it. And some communities got harmed more than others. This community got harmed drastically. To stay even, it's 12.66 mils. That's the impact to us. 12.66 mils. Just to equalize, we'd have to pass it locally to gain back the same tax we once had.
Well, supposedly that's what a lot of the new funding is going to be, more redistributing from wealthier districts.
Well, if that's the case, then communities like Marysville are going to suffer more.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to end up having to pay more of a portion.
That's the fear.
I mean, I can't imagine.
It's my fear, too.
I can't imagine the state's not going to have to take over.
I've been here a long time. I pay taxes here. It's what occurred in this community is not fair to this community. Plain and simple. And we continue to make sure that we're heard. But at the same time, it's a very difficult message when the state of Ohio doesn't have a lot of money. I mean, some of the assumptions that they made in 05 didn't work out.
Well, they were also talking about legislative conference I went to in March. There was a discussion between Gardner and I can't remember the Democrat House member's name. He was on the Education Committee who helped with the EBM. There was a discussion about whether or not the state was going to force school district to use the money exactly as the state intends it to be used, since they're basing all of this funding on a particular child and what that child needs. And Gardner's position, of course, was you can't do that. You can't tie a district's hands and make them use every dollar. And the Democrat House member was, well, yes, we can, and that's what we have to do.
I thought
so
something was dependent on your district rating, that they would be
the debate there was, the whole reason this funding mechanism was set up was to help each child achieve their full potential.
Right.
And if the district isn't using the money exactly to the formula that they designed, then it's not going to help the child. Therefore, they will by force possibly.
There are spending rules within the House Bill 1 on how we are to spend the money. And as of July 1st, we have to start coding things as we are spending them in that way, so that it goes along with how the EBM is set. Now, does that mean that they aren't going to give us any money that way? Not yet. But it says that we need to start coding things and putting them into the accounting system so that it shows that. We are going through that process in my office of looking at every account and finding to make sure that we have everybody in the right spot. Every teacher, every staff member is coded the way that it should be, that they should be paid. And that's going to take a lot of work. But that is one of the areas. But yes, there's spending laws that are in that House Bill 1.
Well, this, what they were talking about was going to be even more stringent than what is already there. That this is something they're talking about that may very well happen in the future.
So is that new legislation you're speaking of?
I think just people talking about it, right?
Yes.
That's all
matters. It's just part of a discussion.
For new legislation? Amendment to House Bill 1?
They didn't talk about when it would happen, but the Republicans were really kind of fighting hard on that.
Yeah, it sounds to me as though we're almost going back two or three sessions ago where the building blocks came out, where it was very prescriptive on how you had to spend your dollars for each kid and all that. I mean,
Well, the Democrat, his position was another advantage to doing this, having it, so stringent, was then that people can certainly see where all the money's going to, because it's more transparent. So I don't know. I would imagine there's going to be a big fight about it.
I don't know if you can get very much more restrictive than literally what you have school funding formulas and codes are anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, it pretty much follows.
What's I guess, and I don't know if this is a board exercise, administrative exercise. I know at High Point it was more of a administrative exercise where the superintendent and probably treasurer and board president or whatever sat down and talked through possible scenarios in terms of how bad things can get, so that way you're not like panicking if things drop off, but you actually have plan A, plan B, plan C. Have we started looking at this and saying, okay, what are the things that we would do if we end up with scenario one, are we just now starting to think about that?
This is the first that we've even seen anything this last week on how much it really was. We knew that 2012 we're going to be in the negative, so we've already started. Larry and I have talked already on what we need to do. So, yeah, we've already put that into place.
And administratively, we know what we have to do, in order to make it happen. We've been through this exercise before. If we know what the cuts would have to be or the reductions would have to be, and we can start putting some additional scenarios together. Not a problem, because we're to that point where we need to do those kinds of things.
Now, is that something the Finance Committee is going to get involved in looking at?
If the Finance Committee wants to see it, the Finance Committee can see it.
That sounds like a work session.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that. I just didn't know how.
I mean, that's really kind of what folds into
sure.
it. I mean, I have to look at this, kind of see where, you have a baseline for best case and well, I doubt it's worst case, but probably an idea. No, I think it would be nice to at least kind of just sit down and around and kind of kick those around to understand what those mean.
Yeah.
So. Now, that also does not include all day, every day kindergarten, is that correct?
No, it doesn't.
We're hoping for waivers.
How long can you request waivers? How many years did they put that out? How many?
Is it a couple more?
Yeah. Well, at least one more.
Yeah.
One more.
Right.
So that's why I'm hoping for more waivers. Because if they...
I don't know. I mean, if it's the kind of numbers you're looking at, are you going to hold us to our feet to the fire for additional costs? You're going to reduce $1 million out of someplace else. Of what you're already doing. Mm-hmm. And again, I understand the argument that, you just set your priorities and people don't want to readjust their priorities. Well, I don't know. Knowing this district the way we know the district, those costs would have to come out of high school. You're just going to have less options for kids or less something. Okay, I mean, it's $1 million. Maybe it comes out of teacher salaries. Maybe we reduce everybody's salaries 10-15%. All those are great scenarios if we want to go down that pike.
Middle school is built into this, so is that a possibility on scenario one, is that middle school doesn't get reopened or it gets pushed down a little bit? I don't even know how much.
Well, that all depends on the enrollment.
Right.
If that enrollment continues to stay about that, you can bump it out of here. And again, that's what we've done all the way along.
Sure.
Right now, we think it's 2 years because we have some area that we can eat by, and again, that helps us if we can do that. But it remains to be seen how it marries our growth.
Work session.
Yeah, I think we can kind of sit here and pontificate, but it'd be nice if we had some scenario, kind of see what, something on paper we can kind of talk about and, work the numbers around.
We can do all kinds of what ifs.
Because we like what ifs.
You're an accountant. You're a geeky person.
I am a geeky person. That's I love that spreadsheet. Yeah.
this chart here gives you an idea of where we get our taxes and money and everything. There's one area that we've never even talked about. Here's another what if. What about income tax? We don't have it here. A lot of school districts do. Income taxes grow. That's the only thing that grows anymore. Nothing else grows except for an economy like this. But To be honest, the my former district, even though we have an income tax and we lost our largest employer down there of over 1,000 staff, you know, they had 1,000 people in, over that in their plant, our income tax still grew. It still grew. It grew maybe 1%, but 1% growth is better than nothing. And so that's something that, that's another area that there's another what if. What if we put in an income, what if we bring an income tax? Property tax, tangible property, yeah, 40%. Tangible, I didn't have a chance to go back. I was going to do that this afternoon. Go back and see what tangible used to be. I was going to say probably 30% knowing, just knowing the district. I would say 30%. So you can see that, that whole area, that's gone. That's money that's gone. So, and the unrestricted and state aid, that the reasons back in 99 and 2000 that we got less was that we were on guarantees from the year before, because even though they weren't going to give us any more than what the year before was. So that's why we were on that. That was the law back then. So you got guarantees. So those are the areas that the changes in the law every time, every 2 years, there's a change that who knows what's going to happen as far as our revenue on there. Revenue expenditures, we're at 62%. Salaries, 22% fringes. That's a worrisome area. Once it gets over 80%, it starts to say, well, we need to look at something here. We're spending more there than what we are in the other areas. So we do have some debt. Equipment is very slim. Supplies, services, 9%. Services are your, a lot of that's your utilities, your supplies are your fuel and all that kind of stuff. So there's some area. Other, that other 1%, the biggest amount in there, are your auditor and treasurer's fees that the county gets. That's where you get, that's most of, that's there. Auditor and treasurer's fees. We spend a lot of money there. They get a certain percentage of it.
3%.
Yeah, 3%. Of whatever they
what
collect.
Do they, what do they do for us for that?
They collect, their
they collect,
they collect
that.
Our taxes.
I'm just curious.
They collect those taxes, so they should be. And really, on the delinquencies, that's one area that maybe we need. I need to go and meet with the county prosecutor. We can go out and the county treasurer and start being really diligent about that and put a program out there and say, let's see what we can do about these delinquencies. And I haven't had a chance to.
Right.
But that's an area. Here's our expenditures per pupil, which is, if you look at that, it used to be real close to 9,000, and now it's about 8,500 on our expenditures per pupil. Or, I'm sorry, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're, and our number of students are up from just at 5 to about 5,200. So those are our expenditures per pupil. So really, in the long run, we're doing really good with what we're doing. We really are. We're keeping our costs down as our students' enrollment goes up. So that says a lot that we're doing what we need to do. It's just that our funding's going to pot, and it's not anybody's fault. Well, it is.
Nobody in this room.
Nobody in this room's fault.
You work for Lehman Brothers.
Right?
Yeah.
Here's what it is. A resident share of daily cost for a student is $12.96. Not too shabby. It's a pretty good average there. Daily cost to educate a student in our district is $48.98. Less than $50 a student. So that's pretty good.
She's running babies.
Yep. Okay. Here you see our revenue and our expenditures are going the wrong way.
We tied an anchor to that bar.
Yeah. I'd like to keep them blue. We'll see what we can do. But it did get a little bit better once we got some numbers. The other thing on our revenue, I've had to fix this in the last week and a half about 3 times before I sent it to you last week. We were not provided with the correct valuations when we were starting to work on it. Even back in December, we didn't have the correct valuation, so I just got that 2 weeks ago when I met with Andrew after the election. So that's it.
every time there's a change in revenue and expenditures, there's going to be a forecast change. And remember, this is how I look at a forecast. It's only as good as the time that it was made. It could change tomorrow. We could get 15, 20 kids in tomorrow, and it put us over that 2%. We could get a loss of revenue from the state, that 22 or 30%. They could pull that next year if they wanted to.
Now, is it your practice that as those changes come in, you update it?
If I can, I do. I try to do it more than just twice a year.
Right.
But right now, I was just glad to get to this point for you guys. But that's the forecast. It is what the forecast amount that I gave you in your notes and all. And any other questions? I'll be glad to answer.
I would say that would be a benefit that the, you know, as you make those changes, and I don't know, kick it out to the board and...
I usually do them at least quarterly is what I like to do them, just because if you do them monthly, it's really hard. I could put them on there as a month, you know, monthly change and just as part of the treasurer's report every month.
I mean, personally, I would.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah,
I just have to see how it goes right now.
I'm not saying create the extra work, but as you
that's
make the change,
share
with us,
yeah.
I guess.
Knowing that it's just a picture in time.
Right? Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But probably better than the one.
No. I'm just saying, you get it.
You'd like to see it.
Sufficient.
I think so.
I'm sorry? Quarterly probably be sufficient.
Unless there's a major change, a piece of legislation happens, something occurs.
Yeah.
To just be tracking.
I'd like to see it as soon as, I mean, as you're making them, I'd like to see it.
I can give them out, you know, with just things. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
Was there any other questions on the forecast? Everybody's okay with submitting it to the state as is?
Yes.
Okay, so I need a motion to accept the treasurer items A through C, please.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 7 is a resolution authorizing advertisement for the purchase of new school buses. What we're asking is for us to go in with Metropolitan Education Council, MEC, to advertise and receive bids on the board's behalf in a cooperative purchasing agreement. This gives us the opportunity to go in with them. We don't know how many we're going to buy yet, but this gives them notice of how many potentially we would look at in combination. We have 6 in here because of the combinations we put out there. Some big, some 72 passengers, some handicap. So we put a combination there. But we're not going to buy 6.
No, how often do they go out for bid?
They go out once.
They're just once. So this is once. And that price holds for the year, right?
They won't get them until spring. They won't even. They'll get all this together, put them out there. They won't even come back until February or March.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. All right.
So we then would purchase
the bus buying season is in the spring, it was for us this year.
Correct.
Fantastic.
But you're not committing to anything except we're participating in the consortium.
This gives them an idea of how to advertise for the number of buses or what people are wanting.
And these are mostly Central Ohio school districts.
It costs us to advertise?
Nope.
And so most districts do that, like if they need to.
Central Ohio.
They'll basically just put out every combination that they might need.
Yep.
Any other questions on that? Okay, so moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
8 is Ohio High School Athletic Association membership. It's my recommendation that we again participate in this so our kids can play somebody. Because if you don't participate, they can't play.
We could be champions.
We could be.
All right. Yeah, sorry. I signed that. I thought that was a paid one. Any motion to accept that, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please. I sure feel like you came from Cindy Hall. That's a long day.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Freudberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Meader.
Yes. Motion carries.
Item 9 are the 2010-2011 middle school instructional and school fees. It's my recommendation that the cost of the consumable materials be assigned there as student fees.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Freudberg.
Yes.
Mr. Meader.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yeah.
Okay, motion
carried. Item 10, school handbooks. You have the elementary and middle school student handbooks, and we would like for those to be approved for the 10-11 school year.
I have a question. Is there a different handbook for Creekview than the elementary book? Do they have their own?
I believe so.
Okay. I think they do.
Well, I didn't see their name listed on it, so I assume they don't remember them.
Yeah. Typically, they've moved, again, I would have to go back and ask Tim. Typically, they're combined with the middle school, but they're not this time. So I'll check on
it. No, I assume because the changes in there were for the grading scale, were they not?
Correct.
So they weren't changing the Creekview manual last year for that, since we just did it.
No.
So is that a roll through next month?
What?
The Creekview manual.
Creekview manual.
Or handbook?
Handbook,
right.
Now, who creates the handbook? Is it the principals?
Only principals.
I only had, there was a nice section in the middle school's handbook regarding conflict resolution that would be nice to have in the elementary, at least for the fourth graders. I know it might be over the head of the kindergartners and first graders, but it certainly would be a nice addition.
Is it something different than it's in there? Because there's a conflict resolution.
In the elementary?
That's middle school.
Is that the middle?
Yeah,
there's a nice conflict resolution section in the middle school.
And you found it.
I did.
Good job.
There it is.
That I think a lot more children could benefit from.
I think we ought to think talk about it.
Reading.
I don't know where it's at. There's two of those.
So I don't know if that's in the Creekview. That would be a nice suggestion if it's not
I'll check.
All right. Any other comments on the handbooks?
No.
Anybody else okay with the changes that are proposed? If so, I need a motion to move those forward, please.
So moved. Mm-hmm.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Meagher.
Yes.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Item 11 is a board policy manual change. This first one here is to do with the fixed assets or the inventories. Changes the fixed asset amount. Essentially, Cindy, you want to speak to that?
So. It's based right now at 1,000, and when I met with a room full of auditors, they said, why 1,000? Why isn't it 2,000? I said, what's the difference? And they said, really, it would be better for you on the audit purposes. And I said, okay. So I'll suggest that we go 2,000.
Is the idea there are less things to audit?
Yes. You got that. And then the lifetime needs to be a 5-year consistent with our permanent improvement levy and all. So it was 3, so except for the we kept the computers and all that the same. They'll still be tagged.
Typically, that's your definition of
permanent
anyway.
5 years,
Or a piece of equipment.
Yeah.
It has to be has to have 5-year
life.
Yeah. And the grade card, grade scale. The change here is. As we've looked at this for the last couple of years, maybe longer than that, actually. But we have found that our grading scale is 92 to 100 is an A. And we're finding that we're really placing our kids
at a disadvantage. You know, it probably didn't once make a big difference, but now as our kids, the playing fields are different. Most school districts are 90 to 100 is an A. As colleges are admitting kids and also awarding scholarships, they're now looking at GPA as a huge factor, not only for admittance, but also for a scholarship. So if you have a kid with a 91 in another school district, they're getting an A. In Marysville, they're getting a B.
So he gets a 4 and we
get... He gets a 4, but he gets a 3 here. If scholarships are set generally at 3.5 or 3, and now they're... Most colleges that I'm seeing now, there is a matrix. If you are... If this is your GPA, go across the matrix, and you'll see your award, mm-hmm. financial award. We're putting our kids at jeopardy and putting our families at, you know, they're going to have to pay more money because they're getting less scholarship. The other issue is that as more and more of our kids are taking college courses, as we put dual enrollment in our high school, where an English class may count as college credit. Colleges are 90 to 100. That's their grading scale. We feel as though, you know, our kids, if the kid was taking the class at Ohio State and getting a 91, that would be an A. Whereas in Marysville High School, same course, same whatever, that 91, you'd be getting a B.
That changed? Because when I went there, it wasn't like that.
It is. That's, right. In Ohio State, that's the way it is.
But they just changed it at Ohio State relatively recently.
So that's
sorry.
The purpose, and that's the reason why we would like to change. It's the first change to their grading system. Wow, since I've been here. It's been a long time. Well, that's been a long time.
Is there any move to do a statewide standardization of that you're aware of?
It'll fall out of the legislature tomorrow, probably. Right along with 30 more minutes of vigorous activity.
I did see they dropped that.
We can waive it. No, you have to pass a waiver.
Oh, you got a waiver. No,
you have to pass a waiver. Every year we have to tell.
Well, after we're going
to
have more.
No, you have to waive it. You have to pass a waiver.
We're going to have more time in doing waivers just to don't miss one.
That's the purpose.
Yeah.
Those are my recommendations.
And it sounds like the teachers will still have the option to offer pluses and minuses and stuff like that. It's just
yes. Yes. That's probably more important at the high school level than any place else. But most of our staff members offer pluses and minuses now.
So does this then start leading into the vow and sow kind of discussion about
Part of what we looked at also was the recommendation on what to do with valedictorian salutatorian.
I knew you had a recommendation just from the notes.
I don't have a recommendation for that. Yeah, we're still looking at it. You know, our valedictorian salutatorian is we look at GPA, number of classes taken, number of AP classes, number of credits earned. I mean, it's a matrix of stuff that's looked at. And it's the body of work, not just the GPA. So, you know,
But you had talked about going to less of one way or the other. But
yeah, we've kicked around a lot of different options. You know, at colleges, you know, you get a cum laude or whatever. You know, at a certain grade level, at a certain GPA, that's where you go. Boom. And some high schools have gone to a base where everybody over a 4 point gets... Is valedictorian? Yeah, I don't know. You know, there's. I think you have to look at it for a lot of different ways. The race to become a valedictorian sometimes has an ugly head to it too.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Because actually, the fewer courses you take.
Yeah, you can manipulate
the higher GPA you can have.
Right, the system.
So you know, we have a lot of kids that choose to take fewer courses and get into that. Race just for that, and really that's the reason why when the high school gets committed together, they're looking at the full body, the number of courses the kid takes, the type of courses, the number of honors classes, the rigor, and making choices on valedictorian, salutatorian on that, not just GPA. Because mm-hmm. if you just did it on GPA, you're missing the other part of the book.
Really. Well, I think you kind of water down what it means to be valedictorian.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's safer, probably. It's more.
Well, it might be safer, but.
But you know, but.
I think if you
we're not ready to
if you can figure out the formula,
exactly.
you should probably get the title.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, trust me. Trust me. Kids have the formula. They got it. They got the whole thing set up. I mean, it's interesting to listen to them talk.
Oh, I know. I've heard some of them. Yeah. And it's like, oh, my, I'm going to take this. I'm not going to take that. I'm staying with you know,
exactly.
Like, what's that
and
for?
I'm not going to take any more four-point
yeah.
classes.
Right.
Because
it's like,
my four-point class lowers my GPA.
With the weighted classes now.
With the weighted classes.
Yeah,
and the 5.8. The 5.8, the 4.8 hurts you. Yeah. Lowers you down.
That's why I took all my classes I didn't like at Columbus State.
Exactly. So we're not ready for a recommendation.
Okay, all right. I'm just thought I'd open that can of worms.
Okay, well, I've had that can of worms open all the time.
Oh, I know.
Can't find the lid.
Yeah, this time of year, generally.
Yeah.
All
right. And again, I get it. I understand it. I mean, and kids, good, I mean, they're good quality kids. I mean, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
They just are.
Right. I mean, they're fighting about, you know.
Yeah.
Something good.
Yeah, something good,
right.
It's like.
still good.
I'm like, I'm taking tougher courses and I want to do better. And I'm like, okay, that's good. That's a good thing.
That is a good thing. Is there any other questions on the board policy changes? Not that I move, we accept them as submitted.
Second.
Move the second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg?
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
And Mr. Lester?
Yes.
I will tell you that colleges over the last 3 or 4 years have really gone to the matrix to give. It's very black and white now.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you go someplace to just put it up on the
it's
board,
painful.
If you are a 3.3, this is and you've had this, they give you this.
It was that 5 years
pretty
ago.
Pretty straightforward.
When my kids started up at Bowling Green,
yeah.
I mean that was just.
Yeah,
there's
just,
no and this or bus
it's
about
very,
it.
Very very different. So, item 12, and you got to have some of these on your agenda also. These are recommendations to employ district staff. Some of these are for next, some of these are additional teachers for not additional, but replacement teachers for next year from resignations.
Could you explain the teachers who would be assigned to Trinity and St. John's?
Flow through money. Money that comes through here, and by the account, the auditor wants us to place them on our books officially. Because it's flow through money, we didn't. We were paying them, but we didn't have them on our rolls. So they asked us to do that.
Federal funds requires that we pay them. Actually, pay the staff and not pay Trinity.
Not pay Trinity to pay them.
To pay them, and that's what we were doing. So we now have to pay them to pay.
So they're considered an employee of our district.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. More of those. Actually, some of their secretarial staff and so on are seen as they're our employees.
Okay.
They'll show up on all the state reports. It's just lovely. You know? Mm-hmm. But you'll see that they're non-renewed here in a minute.
Well, I
too,
did.
So.
I was very confused about
yeah.
that whole process.
Yeah.
We are trying to fix a problem with the federal people.
Yeah. All right, any other questions? Not any motion to accept those, please.
So moved. Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Frager.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 13, district substitutes and home instructors. This is my recommendation that we employ these for the 09-10 school year on an as-needed basis.
So moved.
Second.
Moving second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 14 is employment of summer staff, summer school staff. It is my recommendation to employ on an as-needed basis the following summer school staff for 09-10. I don't know how many of these folks will use. We're just getting ready. Some kids don't even know they're being invited yet to summer school. So they'll know soon.
How does that work? Do parents have to pay if their kids are required to take? I know they do for phys ed, but they do that for different reasons.
Yeah,
generally.
Generally, phys ed frees up their schedule.
Right.
So they take summer phys ed. These are typically credit makeup, credit recovery courses. So you keep the kids back on track. And the middle school, it's actually getting them ready to go move into high school. That's the middle school program.
So moved.
And it's cost neutral. We really try to make sure that whatever the cost is in the summertime, that it's we have tuition coming in to cover the cost.
Okay, moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Freidenberg.
Yes.
Breaker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Newby.
Yes. Motion carried.
15, employment of summer school, I'll call Latchkey, school age child care. It's harder to say. We have two employees there on an as needed basis for the summer.
Latchkey?
Latchkey.
Sack.
Or SAC.
Saxy.
I'm sorry.
Still right. I agree.
All right. So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freidenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Freidenberg.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay. Motion carried.
Item 16 is employment of summer school or summer autistic staff. It's recommended to employ on an as-needed basis the following summer autistic staff for 09-10. Again, a lot of this is IEP driven. Much of this is temporary. Some kids are there, some kids aren't. So we're putting that together now, but these are the folks that have come forward, and we may use a combination of these. This is at our expense. It once was reimbursed by the state. Not anymore. But it's really behooves us to do this because it keeps those kids in practice and in a routine, and are much, we can move them forward a lot more if we're working with them all year. Not so much in the summer. This is not a full time in the summer. It's a couple hours, but it gets the kids moving, and in the fall they come back ready and we can move them further.
So this is the same as the ones that you don't know how many of them.
I don't know how many. I don't know how many. Some of this is IEP driven. Some of it, we don't have all the IEPs done yet. I have no idea which of the parents will want us to. You know, we may only need three of the certified folks and a couple of the classified. I don't know yet, depending on the numbers.
Do you do this at different locations or at one?
Yeah, we do it at a couple of different locations, depending on the age of the kids.
Those folks earn their money on that summer camp. I know that.
Yeah.
So moved.
Second. Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Freidenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freidenberg.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Okay, motion carried.
Item 17, an intern. It is recommended that the following intern be approved for the 2010-11 school year. She's a school psychologist intern from the University of Dayton. We pay her, we employ her, we pay her at a rate, and then they reimburse us. So basically, we're training this person, we're paying them as an intern, but University of Dayton then reimburses us for the cost.
Is that for the whole school year?
Whole school year.
Pass through.
Pass through.
Is this another state concocted way of sending money around?
We'll take an extra set of hands.
We're glad to do it. Actually, she's fantastic.
So move.
Second.
Move in second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Freidenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mrs.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Item 18, reward classified contracts listed below are staff members whose contracts expire at the end of the current school year. And item number 11, the first number 11 there was scratched.
Mr. Fraker had a discussion point.
Well, did we want to do it then, or do we...
Well, you said you wanted to discuss it when
we... Yeah, I just got some questions. I mean, I don't know whether we need to discuss it here in the open or in the executive, to be honest with you.
Do we need to go into executive session before we vote on this?
I really just had some questions concerning it. I mean, I don't like to make it all public here.
Oh, okay. Well, then we can push that to the end, and we'll go into executive session then when we're done. Fine.
So move on. Let's do 18.
Push off 18, and we'll go into executive session. Then will we
19
be,
is...
Well, hold on. Will we be voting on that when we come back
yes.
out? Okay.
Yes.
So when we go in, make a note that we will be voting on that when we come back.
And the purpose of the executive session is for...
Personnel.
Personnel.
Right.
Personnel.
19 is non-renew on the as-needed certificated and classified contracts. Those are the two federal flow-through monies we just hired. We're non-renewing them because we're unsure of the dollars that are coming through from Taiwan.
Right on. Do you motion to accept those, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mr. Fordenberg?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Item 20, then wait until we come back out also.
Do we need? No, we can.
No.
Shannon,
no.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do you have item?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
Okay.
That'd be fine.
So what, push 20 off as well?
Yeah. 21, district volunteers. You have a list there that it's being recommended for volunteers for the school year.
For next, this school year?
Yeah, this school year.
For the next 2 weeks?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Probably some kind of a field trip, a walking trip or something, probably.
So moved.
Second.
Moving second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mr. Fordenberg?
Yes.
Mr. Fraker?
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
Donations, 22. Donations to the district. We have $2,000 from the Coral Boosters to buy some Yamaha keyboards and also a piano from an anonymous donor. I know who it is, but they prefer to be anonymous.
So moved.
No, it took you off a long.
That's right.
Well, I was waiting on the $50.
Oh, moved and
second. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, $50 from Conley Construction also.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mr. Fordenberg.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries.
23 are fundraisers. Request two fundraisers there for one for Creekview and one for Edgewood.
So moved.
Second.
Moved in second. Okay, roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mr. Fordenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Before we go into executive session, I got a couple items that I'm going to go over real quick. First off, sound recording. Where do we stand with that? We'd ask that you guys get feedback. Is that going to be adequate? Or
we'll tell you afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we get to listen
well,
to it.
All right. If that's not adequate, then what's the point?
Did you want me to turn that on?
Well, let's wait and see if it's how it works.
All right. Wait and see how it works?
Well, if it works, fine. I mean, is that where you're getting at? If it works fine, we can hear it fine.
Yeah, that's
is
what I mean.
Is there a need to move on to something else is, I think, the question.
Okay.
Right.
Right. Well, if we have to move... Okay. Here's my point.
Okay.
If we're awful anxious to get that recording in for tonight's meeting.
Yeah.
So if it doesn't work, and we go to our next meeting, If we use that, it's not going to work again, and we won't have a solution to replace it if it doesn't work. So if you're okay with going to another meeting without a recording device, I don't care. But I'm just telling you, that's where we're going if that doesn't work and we don't have another solution.
And if it does work?
Then we're okay.
Okay.
Well, I guess, are you donating that to the district?
Sure.
I mean, what is yours?
I was going to. I was going to donate to the band, or if we had another solution, or
okay.
to the district.
So is everybody okay waiting then to see if it works? Okie dokie. I'm getting a nod. I'm getting a nod from everyone at the table.
Yeah.
All right. Second thing, meeting dates. I sent out a note to everybody bring their calendars for our June and July meeting dates. For those of you who got your email.
I don't think it was on there yet.
Did you bring your calendars? I brought mine in my book, that's why. Okay, you cannot be here for the 21st, correct? The date you put out there was the 17th?
Of June? As a possibility.
Correct.
I can't, it's not the 21st, it's the 28th.
I'm sorry, the 28th. You can't be here on the 28th.
But I have.
Is the 21st bad for you?
Yeah. It is.
Oh, that whole week, that's right. You're gone that whole week. I apologize, you're gone that whole week.
I'm traveling that day, but I'm in California the rest of the
okay.
days. But with Trekka.
All right.
With not any expense to the district.
Right. So the 17th seems to be about the next logical date that's not a Friday to do that. How's the 17th look for everybody?
Are you out
of I will be in Canada.
I will be out of town.
All right. That's not going to work then.
All right.
Stick with just stay with the 28th.
Right.
That's really a bad week for some of us.
What, the 28th?
Yeah, that's our shutdown from Honda.
Well, that was our regularly scheduled meeting.
I know, but
that's well, we need to have it unless you let the treasurer do the end of the year appropriations and changes, and then bring them back to you in July. You've got to have it later on. I'm not closing books until the 17th.
Right, we're moving it in.
Yeah. It's shut down all that week.
Yeah. What's wrong with the 14th? Is that too early?
14th works for me.
As long as I'm allowed to do the end of the year, because I can't close. We've got payroll. That's the day that we even process payroll. I won't have
it's all about you right now, isn't it?
End of June is always about the treasurer's office. It's the end of the fiscal year.
That's earlier.
It's all about you earlier.
It's not us anymore.
Not anymore. See how that quickly changes.
What's the 14th of Wednesday?
Monday.
I mean, that's fine.
It's
if you're
early,
okay
whatever.
with me saying this is where it is preliminary. And
what's up with you guys?
Well, I mean, you have to have it approved by us, or would you have to have it approved by us in July?
I have to have it approved by you in June, it should be, and then...
So are you saying we would have to come back for a special meeting to approve it?
You would have to. You can approve it based on what you're
But just leave it on the
permission.
28th, and that's the 28th wasn't good?
No, the 28th is our regular meeting.
The 14th doesn't work.
Larry 14th doesn't work for...
Okay.
Larry can't make the 28th, though, right?
It's going to be tough.
You're on the West Coast.
How about you hear the 29th? Are you traveling on the 29th?
But you guys are out. You're out midweek.
I'm always out midweek.
Midweek. And you're out because of shutdown that week.
Potentially.
So who's going to sit in your seat then on the 28th? Tim?
I'll find somebody.
Okay.
It's crazy enough to do it.
I don't like to take days off.
I also have a problem in July.
Yeah, I know. All right, well, so we'll skip it on the 28th in June, and then but July is a problem as well. You're out on the 26th.
There's a wedding that I need to be in Florida, and I won't be back. So that's my problem. I knew I had the problem in July. The June thing just came
What about the week before?
The week
of the 19th?
I run into the same problem.
The 15th?
Leave it on the 26th. Somebody will just take my place then, too.
I won't be here on the 26th.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm just telling you.
I'll be here. Okay. I won't be here the week before that, but then we're not having a meeting, so that doesn't...
All right, so you want to leave it? I mean, are we good the week? Can we get four of us here the week before? Or you're not here the week before either? Uh-huh. So it doesn't really matter. Well, I guess either that or can we move it later on in the week, the 29th?
Nothing that
that whole 2 week block?
Yeah.
Do we need a meeting in July?
We
don't have to have a meeting in July.
Well, it's always nice. Yeah, we need to hire. We need to hire.
What about the 2nd of August?
Two meetings in August?
2nd of August for everybody?
That would be your hiring. That's a good question. 2nd of August, though.
I apologize for these.
My schedule opens right up until something gets filled.
I'm out.
I'm in.
My vacation, I'm sorry.
A staycation? Or
a staycation.
How's everybody else up on the side?
I think I'm camping that week. I'm not sure.
You can have the discussion with my wife. I can tell you how it will go, but you can have it if you want.
I've had that discussion before with my own wife. I'm pretty sure they're singing from the same song.
I suggested the 15th of July, but again, it's the same. You run into that midweek. That's June. But.
Well, yeah, I'm gone on the 15th. You're gone on the 15th.
Oh, I'll get back with all the other changes. I'll get back.
On the 15th of July?
Yeah.
So you can be back on the 15th?
I will.
Has everybody else?
Since I screwed up the 19th and the 26th, I feel compelled to,
I'll be back.
Try to accommodate.
You can do it on the 15th. That would be okay.
That would be good.
I won't be here, but I'll be on vacation. And yet you can have that discussion with my wife. Doug, how are you looking on the 15th?
15th of July, right?
Yeah.
I'm good.
All right.
Let's move to the 15th of July.
All right. Good. All right.
John
thanks.
Can run that meeting. And
Don't
be late.
Generally, the last weekend, at least last week, I try to avoid stuff, but I couldn't this summer. Okay.
All right. That's that. And last thing I had was your email. I don't know which email you people are using, but seriously, I mean, we're on district email. Can we please use it?
Oh.
Are we on district
email? Am I supposed
email?
To go on there? And isn't it like over the web or something kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yes. Just get on the...
Honda doesn't...
Did you get instruction from James?
I never got instructions.
And I got one.
Did you?
Did?
Of course, he might have sent it to one of my email addresses. I haven't picked up.
Can you have him send those out, please?
I will.
Just...
Where's it going to? Which email? This will make about five of them.
I know. I got the windows open on mine, but it's.
Yeah, but see, you're a technology geek. I have to have them all come to the same place, and that doesn't work very well.
You know, John, we may be able to correct those.
Yeah.
Okay. That would help.
Yeah, it
really?
It we may. I don't know whether you want it to or not, because it could become a public record.
No, I would prefer to just. Log it in. I'm just asking if everyone could use them, I'm not having
to. Right now, it's coming into one of my business. Right now, it's coming into one of my business.
I had to send an email today. I had to send it to every four addresses for everyone.
Well, just put them in your box, man.
Say all.
All.
We agreed to move to district email. Let's use it.
No, we agreed that we'd have a district email. We didn't say we was going to use it.
Okay.
That would require me to log in.
I understand.
Has to show up.
And then I don't check mine at home ever.
I checked mine
today.
I had 729.
See, that's me.
That would be where your instructions are for district email.
Right. Yes, somewhere there.
Yes, that's where they are.
And it's a Honda. They put a block on web mail.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's difficult.
So, maybe they can figure out yours in then.
All right, we'll keep myself.
It'd be nice if we get pop 3. You can't get pop 3 access to that. I don't know if Trek has got to turn there now, but that would be nice.
Cool.
so I could run it through my Outlook, so you don't have to directly use my web address, but I can pull it down.
We'll check tomorrow. All right,
thank you.
I got to ask a question.
Oh, yeah, we're not done yet.
Well, I think she is.
Okay. I want to know, are we anywhere on this high school basketball coach? Since
we have candidates, and we're starting to interview. As of this afternoon, they were having some internal look at the candidates. I saw the candidates, some of the stuff today.
Are they going to be in place for a camp? The summer camp?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. We have condition in place if there is not somebody in place.
Yeah, no, I was just curious if that was clear.
I don't know. I mean, we'd be moving pretty fast.
We're done.
Perhaps.
Maybe.
Perhaps. It's 3 weeks out.
Right.
So perhaps.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to open up to the gallery once again. Anybody want to make any final comments before we huddle up? No? No one?
And there will be action after.
There will be action. We will be voting on items 18 and 20 when we come back out of executive session. I'm not going to tell you how we're going to vote, because I don't know. It'll be kind of a surprise. You got to stay around.
Yeah, just hang around.
Yeah. Like, no. Any final thoughts, Mr. Lassiter? Final thoughts, Mr. Fraker?
I'm done.
All right. John, nothing? Cindy? All right, then we move into executive session.
Second.
Move in second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mabee.
Them.
Yes.
Mr. Fraker.
Yes. She doesn't have to be here. Okay.
Mr. Freudenberg.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer has adjourned to the facility.
She wanted
motion
cookie,
carries four.
But let's eat it and then we'll turn this off.
Oh yeah, please turn that off.